live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 311. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, and we've got a show for you tonight. Tuesday edition, because I am gone, vacation, golf trip with the boys. So we're just doing a Tuesday one because the golf starts. And we got a good show for tonight, man. We got college football starting up in 2 weeks. You've got NFL preseason that just started this past weekend, and it's going to be coming back in hot this week. We got games starting Thursday. We've got the Olympics, Team USA. We've got them capturing the gold. We've got that talking more. Can't start the show without my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, happy Tuesday night.
Happy Tuesday night. Happy, you know what I'm saying, our server is working tonight, and we don't have to go through no hoops and ladders to get, episode 311 out, man. But it's great to be back. I'm on Olympic high, Brandon. I know we got, that to recap and training camp, but, like, man, and other things as well, NASCAR, all that, too, right? But, like, no, man, where you going to start at tonight?
Yeah, let's dive right into the call, to the NFL, John. Colts-Broncos. Colts had their first preseason game of the year this past weekend here at Lucas Oil Stadium. We weren't going to see much of the starters as we expected in the game. Colts lose 34-30. Anthony Richardson, John, he was able to get back out there onto the old playing field the first time in 300 and some days. Didn't see much of him. 2 of 4, 25 yards, John. It's kind of hard to – somebody asked me, how do you assess it, how he did? And it's kind of hard. You can't really do it. The only thing you can say is, hey, he was out there, he came off the field healthy. That's kind of how I assess it, really, for the Colts.
Right.
For there.
Right.
Looking at all aspects, though, and I guess we'll go with Anthony Richardson first before we go total team, but
sure.
I thought he was healthy. He looked healthy out there. He didn't come back injured even more, which I guess is a plus there, but that's my assessment on Anthony Richardson. What about yourself?
We're still in evaluation period, Brandon. The biggest thing is that you're right. He played a short little series or whatever. The biggest thing for him is going to be, help and navigating, we can't even get into a whole conversation with how many picks he threw or anything like that, right? Before we can get through a full, full game, whether it be, not a full game, we talk about preseason, but, until we get to a real, where the chips are in. But as far as like assessing him and the offense that, they looked all right. I felt like through the whole course of the afternoon, it was more of a defensive battle than anything else. Shane Steichen, I think it was more what can Latu do, and what can I thought a running back got injured in the game. I might have my wires crossed. I know one got injured in practice or whatnot. But like, man. From a coach standpoint, man, from a coach fan standpoint, rather, you feel good that Anthony Richardson and the offense looks. I know they didn't get a W, and we don't really rate the preseason by wins and losses. Nobody does. Smart fans, or the common day fan does. So, but no, man, it's good to see him out there. And, take a couple reps and, like I said, coming out of college, that was the big question mark, So good to see him out there in a professional football setting. And, here we are. I will say that on, I think they have a inter-scrimmage practice with Arizona where they kind of play a little bit. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, where they play a little harder, They play, more physical. You're not going against your own defense. It's not necessarily scripted. And that's probably the folks here. Listening to me and you, they know. Check for Crossroads Sports on Twitter or check for Boosterman on Twitter, and we'll be talking about it as well. Evaluating the coaches. As well. And all that. But like, nah, man, that's where, you know what I'm saying, you're going to get the, you know, and I know that's not necessarily open to everybody, you know what I'm saying, but that's where they're going to get, you know what I'm saying, what they kind of, what they know what they're going to get out of Anthony Richardson for the rest of the year is from that particular practice. But like, nah, man, I know they got, I do believe they got another preseason game as well. And you expect to see him a little bit more of him out there. But like, nah, man, the offense looks okay, but we won't necessarily know until we see, you know what I'm saying, everything, everybody out there. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't necessarily get a full palette of that this past, you know what I'm saying, against Denver.
I said 10-7 initially as my prediction for the first year.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I sent you a text today. Vegas has it at 8.5. I don't even know if they get that. I'm sorry. They may be at 8 this year. Don't see...
I'm sure we get the people call in and not you.
I just, John, my thing is they didn't improve the team. There's no improvement. It's team run it back. That's what the state of Indiana does. We're doing it with the Pacers. Team run it back. But with the Colts, you didn't address anything. You're saying, hey, Anthony Richardson, you're going to be that one guy that's going to get it over the top here with this. But you're still struggling on running on wide receivers. You got your running back. Your tight ends have no-showed. Your defense, I felt like your defense played well last year. I don't know if you can get a repeat performance from them. I hope you do. But I don't know. We'll see. And I'm not taking it off the game. So
well, I don't
sit there and tell me, oh, Brady, you're making your decision after you saw a fucking preseason. No, that's not just off a preseason game. No, it's looking deeper at this roster, what's coming back. And I'll tell you this, it's Gus Bradley. He either better improve or that house better start going on the market here in Indianapolis, because he will not be here next year, and even the coordinator, if the Colts have another rough year because of the defense this year.
So, all right, let's go into the deeper into the matrix with the Colts, man. So let's say, because I kind of said it 2 weeks ago on episode 309, I do believe, that I thought the Colts was going to win like 9 games. So
yeah.
Now, you know what I'm saying, I think we're a little bit more aligned. You know what I'm saying? I just said that just because I think this is going to be a, you know what I'm saying, another full, you know what I'm saying, half of, you know, more than, you know what I mean, for a rookie season as a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He got to get the proper connectivity and all the things. That's the one thing we ain't talked about. That's the one thing nobody talked about. Yes, our quarterback, their quarterback is 100% in health and he looks awesome. You know what I'm saying? As far as throwing the ball, and we know he got the quicks. And what's that going to look like when JT gets in, when Taylor gets out there? I mean, you know what I'm saying? They'll be able to score, I do believe, and move the ball. But, like, you know what I'm saying, those critical games where, you know what I'm saying, it's third and long. What does that, you know, what does that necessarily look like for the offense? The defense obviously took a step back as well with the injury that they took, you know what I'm saying, in training camp. With their lead sacks, that's 9 sacks that's gone, y'all. So you have to be somewhat of a realist. You know, Latu, the kid from UCLA, he does jump off the screen at you, right? A lot of folks here in local radio media are already kind of predicted that he might be, you know what I'm saying, defensive rookie of the year. That remains to be seen, you know what I mean, especially there is a sort of a little injury specter around him as well coming out of college. But I don't know, man, but so I want to get into the weeds a little bit, man. So an 8-win season, or even like I said, a 9-win season, does that keep you? You say you point the finger at the defense. I don't know if the general manager sticks around.
Yeah, can I tell you what I did? What I was impressed with coming out of that preseason game? Bo Nix. 15-21, 125 yards and a touchdown. He looked like he is ready for the NFL. And I know we're going to sit there and play second teamers and third teamers and all, but getting reps, and he's old enough. He's already older than Anthony Richardson by a few years, so he should be a little bit further along than what Anthony Richardson is. And I liked what I saw from Bo Nix. I was – you know me, before the Steelers went and got their two boys, I was repping for Bo Nix to be a Steeler.
Right. Here's what we'll say, man. Here's what we can say about that. Like, I get kind of irritated when pundits say a particular player is too old. They said the thing about the kid, playing for Atlanta that used to play for IU. You know what I'm saying? They said the same thing about him. What difference does it make? You know what I'm saying? I'm just speaking kind of. What difference does it make? The NFL is not the NBA. NBA, we got Zach Rochester. We're going to wait to see what he's going to be, right? NBA, we got Wimby. We kind of know what he's going to be. He projects, you know what I'm saying, whatever. The NFL ain't like that. So if Bo Nix can win you football games, Bo Nix go out there and win 11 football games, right? Hope Springs, the Denver Broncos will be back in the playoffs, man. So I don't know why. I don't, man. Drake May, they already thinking about next year. You know what I'm saying? After watching him, you know what I'm saying, his first little preseason game, man. So I'm only picking on him because he's one of the quote unquote younger quarterbacks, fresh, you know what I'm saying, 4 years in college. Now he's, you know what I'm saying, wide eyed bushy tail in the NFL. But like, no, man, I really don't look at if a quarterback's 27 years old, right? 28, whatever. Right? You know what I'm saying? If he can play the position, it doesn't matter how old he is, as long as he can play. So, like, nah, man, kudos to Bo Nix. He probably think about it, man. He listened to the college guys and kind of got paid, say, one more year. And you can't sweat that, especially when the NFL was saying, oh, brother, you're going to be a second rounder. Oh, brother, you're going to be a third rounder. And you know what I'm saying? So he kind of played the smart. He's played the money way, right? So, like, nah, man, but I'm not saying – Bo Nix looked anything like Andrew Luck, or I'm trying to think who was like right out the gate, you know what I'm saying, or even last year, CJ Stroud. But it looks like he's going to be able to command the. I mean, I don't think they have they named a starter yet in Denver. I don't know, but
not
he
yet.
Looks like he's yeah,
either
he's,
him
he,
or Zach.
Like, I mean, I'm a Zach Wilson fan. I don't think he necessarily got the best support in the Jets organization, and we can kind of talk about them later. But, like, no, man, the Bo Nix era is probably going – he's probably going to get named the starter, and like I said, away they go.
One guy that, you know, I could hear them cheering and hooping and hollering this past weekend from there. Let me play the
–
there was some woos coming from it as well. Thoughts on Caleb Williams. 4-7, 95 yards, made some good, incredible throws. Couple or two rough ones, but I thought it was a good showing.
Good showing, especially from this. You know what I'm saying? Our program is real critical of the Chicago, you know what I'm saying, Chicago Bears organization and their current situation. You know what I'm saying? It looks like, man, Eberflus going to keep his job, right? He got a quarterback that's comfortable. Yeah, right. He got a quarterback that's comfortable and got a quarterback that's capable. Their biggest thing is, like I said, getting connectivity with the offensive line. They protected while he was under center during that particular game. I don't have the, you know what I'm saying, who were they playing starters on starters during, you know what I'm saying, 100% of the time when they were playing. But, no, man, he looks like, you know what I'm saying, he's not going to necessarily struggle, you know what I'm saying, in a similar regard. There are analysts and pundits and whatnot that believe he's on a trajectory like Andrew Luck. You know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, man, if that's the case, well, you know what I'm saying, not quitting, you know what I'm saying, midstream, but you know what I'm saying, being very, very successful, being very successful career, man. If that's the case, man, that's the Chicago Bears have the case in the next 2-3 years. I know, to be thinking about, you know what I'm saying, winning the North Division and making a direct beeline to the Super Bowl, man, just because we know the Chicago Bears, right? They will spend money on defense, right? Whether it's through free agency or acquiring players through the draft and whatnot. So you got an able quarterback. You find, you know what I'm saying, next 2 seasons, or hell, even next year, you know what I'm saying, his receivers, plural, not just one, or, you know what I'm saying, or one we even kind of pieced together, or one we traded for because he was pissed at the Philadelphia Eagles or whatever, or New York Giants or whoever, which is what I kind of think what their situation is right now. But, like, nah, man, he looks like he got the goods, man. We'll see, you know what I'm saying, if he can further project.
Yeah. Texans and Steelers, John. Texans win 20-12. Russ Wilson did not play. He'll be playing in week 2 of preseason this week. It was the Justin Fields show and Kyle Allen. Fields, 5-6, 67 yards. Not the greatest showing, John. Two fumbles under the snap. The center says he takes the blame. Fields says he's taking the blame. I like the fact he's taking the blame himself as well. It shows a little maturity in there. But right. overall, there was passes downfield. And Van Jefferson caught a nice one for 20 yards from Fields. George Pickens caught a nice one from Fields as well. It's already more downfield with this offense with Arthur Smith than it was with Matt Canada. So I call that a plus. You take away those two fumbles. I like it. It's all right. You're going to see and Tomlin said dress rehearsal is the preseason, trying to figure out where we're going to go for the regular season starter. He's always said it's Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson will get the start this Saturday against the Buffalo Steelers Bills rematch of the wild card playoffs from last year. You got to believe that Russ will probably play probably 2-3 series, and then Fields will play probably 2 or 3, 4 series himself, and then Kyle Allen will finish up with mop-up duty. But overall with Fields, besides the two fumbles, I liked what I saw.
Right. I reiterate that statement. I got no worries really with Mike Tomlin. I don't. The quarterback situation, Russell Wilson hasn't looked great in practice. And they can't necessarily
Bronco country,
say,
let's ride.
There you go. And they can't necessarily – I know it's going to come down to a point, and it's going to come down to probably a point of uncomfortableness. Not necessarily for Mike, because like I think he's rock solid.
Mike
would
just make
a move. You know what I'm saying? But I, you know what I'm saying? You get fumbles regardless of the fumbles, man. It smells like Justin Fields is going to be the starter week one. So I think they'll kind of go through that. You said, well, can you?
Because I don't know where he goes next. If he doesn't and he can't handle it, I don't know where he would go next. But remember, Pittsburgh has a 1-year deal here, right? So with Russ,
right.
1+1. So they're not tied to him. They're only paying him $2 million. The Broncos are paying that 30-something million for this season. So it's like a free roll for Pittsburgh. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm good either way right now. I think obviously Justin Fields is the future. So especially with this type of offense. If it's just to get Russ or to get Fields acquainted with our system until then with Russ, then it is what it is.
Right.
I've always said they need to get a number two, another wide receiver. So the Brandon Ayuk situation is ever developing. It was reported today that, last week that the Steelers, it was basically going to be a done deal and Pittsburgh was ready to roll. Then there was report that, hey, the Steelers are out of it. They're not going to go after him. So then it's like, okay, what the hell's going on with that? And then today it was reported from Ian Rappaport that the Steelers, let me get the exact wording here, that the Steelers have a trade official with the 49ers, and they're just waiting on a few things for compensation, that the long-term contract's already set with Pittsburgh. That was from Rappaport about 3 or 4 hours ago. And then now NFL Network's insider Mike Garofalo just spoke on Insiders and said that the 49ers and Ayuk are still discussing regarding a long-term deal, but also says a lot of the language in the contract has been agreed to, but the only one final hurdle to be reached. So I don't know where the hell this is at with the Ayuk situation. I'm kind of getting tired of it now that we need to figure out what's going on. And Pittsburgh does need to get in there and get themselves another wide receiver at some point. I mean, right now, you can't tell me they're happy with Van Jefferson being the guy. I mean, do you go out and get DK Metcalf out there in Seattle, pair him up with Russ again? I mean, he's throwing helmets at players and fighting with his teammates in Seattle. If that's not a cry that he wants out, I don't know what it is. But, I don't.
It sounded like to me that the deal with San Francisco, like, that's where he's going. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, the matter of, like, what they're going to return back in, in trade. I don't – there's going to be no player movement or anything like that, like, player. You know what I'm saying?
The latest is that the 49ers, I guess, have upped their – what they want now from Pittsburgh. It was, hey, we agreed to this, but now, hey, you know what? Let's add another piece to it. the latest that I'm hearing, John, is that, and I don't know how I feel about it just yet, was that Micah Fitzpatrick would be part of this trade.
Whew. How much defense do they need out there in San Francisco?
That's why I'm wondering. The Steelers trade offer with this deal does not include a first round pick per sources either. So they would keep their first round pick, probably trade out Fitz Minka. I mean, he had some good years here. He had good years.
Right.
I'd hate to get rid of him to get Ayuk, but I don't know. I think you get.
Right,
I think they would get like a second and a fourth.
Right, because if Brandon Ayuk, he can improve your team in the short term, but you also got some short-term quarterbacks. For one, for sure, right? You got one for sure short-term quarterback and one you still evaluating. So you can't just be making willy-nilly, hey, man, we're going to send you everybody or everything and put this wide receiver, and we don't even know, we want this wide receiver to grow with whoever's going to be a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I haven't heard anything about disgruntledness from Brandon Ayuk as far as when the trade does go down, will he be signed with it? I haven't heard anything like that. I don't necessarily know where the Pittsburgh Steelers are at in money. We know
they got plenty of money for it. Plenty.
Right. They ain't paying Russell Wilson, right? They're only paying him like $2 million. So I haven't heard anything like that from the wire. Like as far as Brandon Ayuk, that one. It's like, cause they're kind of like how, the dealio is going on with the Jets. And their situation where this is the wrong time to ask for a trade. You know what I'm saying? So I haven't heard anything like that from Pittsburgh. I just think you're right. It's kind of what it is. San Francisco's, kind of just waiting it out. If Pittsburgh offered a 2-4.
It's literally like a duel right now. They're both pointing the gun at each other, waiting for the first one to fire first. And
right.
Pittsburgh's like, well, we're not going to up this offer.
Right.
But then now it's like, well, Sabre's like, well, we're going to up the offer, and you got a guy that doesn't want to play for you. And like, well, we're going to go out and try to re-up a contract with him while we got the chance. It's crazy right now. Rappaport just posted something 16 seconds ago. Let me see if I can see this real quick.
Yeah. The kid, I was just talking about you while you found out, man. The kid Riddick from the Jets. You know what I'm saying? What did he come over?
Hold on a second, John. I'm going to watch this real quick. Yeah. Give me a second. The deal is in place, and the 49ers just have to say, yes, we're doing it. They have all the pieces and draft picks and whatnot in place, and the long-term extension. It's just taking the 49ers to say yes now. That's it. That's the only holdup. So I don't know how long do you wait this out, man? I don't know, but it's getting frustrating. It's frustrating for fans, especially for me. Like, let's get this fucking thing over with. Let's move on, and let's try to get to a work what we need to win the division title there, because they need another piece. They need another weapon, and they didn't get it in free agency. I mean, you can call Van Jefferson, but come on now. Van Jefferson was like third best out there. And out there in Los Angeles. So, Scott K. Nichols, our great sponsor, John, said, can you confirm if the Lions running back tore his ACL? I haven't seen any actual confirmations on it, John. Have you?
No, the biggest news out of their camp is J.J. McCarthy. Being down. So I haven't heard anything about the running back at all.
Yeah,
Jahmyr
Gibbs injured at some point yesterday during practice, but there has not been any update yet. They feel like, I haven't got anything besides the MRI. Still nothing yet.
I don't have any, outside of McCarthy being injured, I know. I think they went to a little bit of the waivers, waived some guys at cornerback up at Detroit. I don't really have I don't have anything bad, but they're going to be pretty thin. They're going to be kind of thin at cornerback this year. If anybody's trying to, listen, they're going to pick on them their secondary for sure. But kind of thin at corner for the Detroit Lions. And like I said, McCarthy got to get 100% healthy.
Yeah, I just saw their quarterback tore his ACL, but nothing yet on the update for Jahmyr Gibbs. Hopefully it's
they
not.
They signed Fromm? You can't be serious. They signed Jay Fromm? That's crazy.
Yeah, man, they needed to. Never know what could happen.
Goff got it this year. He should be in MVP conversations.
J.J. McCarthy, knee surgery, John. He'll be out for a bit.
Yep.
So it looks like, Scott, I'm trying to look in more information for you. It's looking like it could be a hamstring injury. Diagnosed with a hamstring injury today. He'll be out at least for the rest of the preseason. Could come back week one or week two of the regular season, but it's looking like just a hamstring, thank God. So, but what about J.J.?
He's going to be probably down. He's probably not going to make it till week two. But other than that, man, Lions is rock solid, man. Nobody should be worried about Detroit Lions until they have to play San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah, Justin Powell thought Gibbs was hamstring. It is hamstring, so he'll just be out. Let's talk about Big D. Jerry Jones went out and said a few things, and it pissed off CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb might be not showing up a little bit.
It started as a little Twitter joke. He was smiling, and then, you know what I'm saying, when he went back and got thought about it, like, and talked to his agent, and, like, they're nowhere near a deal where, you know what I'm saying, CeeDee Lamb thinks he should be living there as far as the pay raise. Now, things again, man, I cannot. So when people call into the show or people tweet or whatever, man, and say, hey, man, what about this team? What about this team? And a lot of it is Colt related or the teams we cover. And we don't really cover a whole lot of big Dallas, you know what I'm saying, until, you know what I mean, not ever. But, like, this year, man, they have a lame duck coach. They have a lame duck quarterback that they don't want to pay. And now they got a lame duck wide receiver who's disgruntled and is not showing up. So a recipe for could they win some games? Because the quarterback's not going to hold out. And we know the coach is going to be out there on the field. You know what I'm saying? Coaching. You know what I mean? He's out there now, y'all. But, like, y'all can take Super Bowl off your tip of your tongue.
Whoa.
When you talk about the Cowboys.
Whoa.
And at this point, when I say lame duck coach, when I say lame duck quarterback, you also want to take playoffs off the tip of your tongue too, man, because everybody knows that if that doesn't get a new contract, Brandon, I mean, with the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to get a contract. Some other team will pay Dak, I think.
Pittsburgh,
I don't know why. $65 million?
Yep.
Gosh.
I mean, they're going to play Ayuk about 40.
That's a lot. That's a lot for Brandon Ayuk, too. We can talk about Brandon. We talked about him enough last week. We talk about him next week. But that's a lot from him, too, man. And I get it. He's
actually,
put in.
I can see Buffalo trying to get a trade for him because Dallas wants to get him out of this division.
Because they got to get creative after this year. They got to get a little creative with their roster to keep Josh Allen, you know what I'm saying, 100%. So, but like, nah, man, Big D, back to Big D. They got too many things kind of going against them. And the owner is saying, everything's good. But like Brandon, like I said last week, man, he's got that phone number in his pocket. And if things go a little cat wild, the thing is, there's no guarantee. Of course, they can move up in the draft. There's no guarantee they're going to be in a play for Shedeur Sanders, right? Shedeur Sanders is probably going to be one of the top eight draft picks in this year's draft. If not top five, because he's a quarterback, right? But, like, you know, you can move, you can use whatever draft capital that you have and say, hey, man, we're going to take all our twos and move up to get wherever they think my Shedeur might fall at. But, like, you can't, that's a big roll of the dice, thinking that Deion and Shedeur Sanders is going to come and save your day for the next 5 years because you didn't want to pay Dak Prescott, you know what I'm saying, what he thought he should get paid. And they've let Dak Prescott, like, you know, saying contract, he can't be franchise tag, he has a no trade clause, so y'all either got to give him a new contract or he walks out the door. Again, running a football team, that's not how football teams run. That's technically not how. I don't want to take a dig at our NBA brothers, but NBA teams kind of run like that because they have potential already. Oh man, we ain't thinking about it. We got to work out these guys. You know what I'm saying? It's always that next level. You know, who we looking for? The NFL's not like that. NFL says we got to win today, otherwise we all gonna be fired tomorrow. We know there's a whole lot of scrutiny and eyes and ears, and rightfully so on Mike McCarthy and some of his play calling. You know, the in-game management, you know what I'm saying, and playing close games, and he's fallen below average. We can kind of forget all those, you know what I'm saying, good times that he had in Green Bay. How many? That was over a decade ago. So, but like, no, Big D, I know I sound like a hater, man, but it's not going to happen this year. No, I'm not picking on him, but it's not going to happen this year, man. They can't get their act together, whether – build some type of re-sign CD, re-sign Dak. If you sign the players, it doesn't really matter who's the coach, right? In this particular regard. So if one of them gets re-signed, I won't be shocked, but I don't think if Dak doesn't get re-signed, ain't nobody get re-signed.
Yeah. You know, looking at that Cowboys roster, they got Zeke back. I think you're going to see a resurgence from Zeke this year. I really do. I think he saw the grass wasn't so greener on the other side.
Right.
He's going to come back. I think he'll do well. I don't want to say they ain't going to make the playoffs because I think that's a little drastic. I know Mike McCarthy ain't the answer, but I don't think Jerry's going to blow up the whole damn thing. For that. And I think I truly do think he likes Dak. I do. And I don't think he's willing to take a chance for Shador. Dion's already acting crazy going after the media and out in Boulder now this year, which it was all love fest last year. And this year he's already going after people. So I think it's got a short stint there. By the way, I have a stat real quick. I was going to my college football preview, John. And I was going through Colorado's information in my book. By the way, Pick Six Previews, great book for college football previews. I was reading this yesterday, John. This is a wild. I had to save it for you. He went out this past year. Dion did, you know, and that's why I think he'll be gone after this year. Mm-hmm. And his son leaves. He hasn't said anything about that. But, I mean, the writing's on the wall that it's going to happen. He had 72 new players last year that came in, right? Now, he's got the number this year, draft class, 81 for the draft class this year.
Okay.
Transfer portal, it was eighth. Last year was number one. This year it was eighth overall. Of the 72 new players that he had last year, 45 of them are gone already. After 1 year. Most of them transferred out within 12 months. 45 of them did. For the second straight season, the entire offensive line is gone. Gone. Starting fresh with the offensive line. Two straight years. I don't think he'll be lasting out there one more year. I don't think college is Deion's game. I really don't. I don't even know if the NFL really is his game. I think he's more of a talking head. Type, and I know he loves what he's doing, but, you know, Jackson State was cute for his son. Colorado's cute. It's not a long-term thing for Dion out there. Jerry's stupid enough to put him in there, but I think it might be with Dak. And then Dion says, 1 year of Dak, maybe that's not it.
That might be a stars aligned kind of situation. It's kind of odd that you say that because I kind of want to parallel with it. I've seen more Deion Sanders on the road during this past summer in springtime. He made a stop here, I do believe. Motivational speaking. That's kind of what he does. And it's great, like what he's doing. But I heard more of that than, and I know this football's not playing in the summertime or whatnot, but I heard more of that than Deion is talking to XYZ MOP and is targeting this kid, that kid, in, you know, saying in the fall to come to Colorado. I heard less of that and more of Deion's going to be here, Deion's going to be there, motivational speaking. And part of, I mean, and, you know, you can kind of pull in recruits, you know what I'm saying, that way too. It kind of, you know what I'm saying, part of the experience. But, like, we all know recruiting is, I feel like when we talk about Alabama or Clemson, boom, we know that kid's going there, that kid's going there. This kid is, you know, Clemson usually got two quarterbacks they know go to the NFL. That, you know what I'm saying, that they didn't recruit over, you know what I'm saying, season over season. So, we'll see, man. We know Deion, you know, he's kind of that guy. I'm here for a short time, not for a long time, but always a good time, right? But, you know, because, like, hell, I think the daggone pack, the Big 12, shout out. They're still the Pac-12, y'all. Don't get it twisted. They still out there. Washington State still out there, y'all. They didn't go anywhere.
Bagpipes for the Pac-12.
Hey, man. Play them bagpipes again, man. But I tell you what, after ACC play, Stanford and California after this year's ACC play, they're going to be back. I got a feeling.
Oh, yeah, they'll be back to Pac.
They're going to run back, man. For real, for real.
Pac-12 is going to redo themselves.
Yeah, so, like, no, nah, man, they got Colorado finished in the bottom. Mid-level, under, you know what I'm saying, 6-7, that part, you know what I'm saying, of the Big 12, man. So, clearly he's got some work to do, you know what I'm saying. You coming into a new conference, you know what I'm saying. That Big 12 ain't trying to dissolve. And, it, you know what I'm saying, I know me and you talk about this all the time, and we can kind of see the map and kind of go where it's supposed to go, and everybody wants these two big super conferences where it's just the Big 10 versus SEC. Well, you know what I'm saying, there's another knock-knock, y'all. Out there trying to, you know what I'm saying, they pull in. And, you know, Colorado, you don't want to be a doormat to an Arizona or a doormat to a Utah and their 9-year quarterback, you know what I'm saying? So like, no, man, he's got to show and prove and make sure Colorado doesn't finish, you know what I'm saying, in the bottom and try to somehow get himself in the playoff.
Yeah. We'll see with him, but yeah, going back to the Cowboys, right. I think you got a lame coach and a lame duck coach and a lame duck quarterback possibly, and that spells a disaster. But I think they're more safe with Dak than they are, because you can see the quarterbacks that are out there, John, and they're bad. There's a lot of bad quarterbacks. I dealt with it last year, last 2 years as a Steeler fan. That's during the Ben Roethlisberger era. I was like, oh, we had Ben. We'll go back out there. Boy, it seems like it's been 5 years since we've had Ben Roethlisberger behind us under center. I saw highlights. Somebody went through and put a collection of Ben Roethlisberger highlights together. I said, God dang, I missed all these highlights. Because there's been a lot of lowlights lately. So I think they might stick with Dak just because with the way the quarterback play is looking out there. John, I know you're heavy in it, my man. The Olympics, Team USA, basketball, scary against France. But they pulled it out, Steph Curry doing Steph Curry things.
Yeah, it's just kind of amazing, man. I go on the French first, man, the opponent, man. So I don't know. Like, it seems like it's overnight. There's, you know what I'm saying, I remember right after Jalen Rose got fired from ESPN, he, you know what I'm saying, he went on Twitter and was kind of talking about, got his own personal views about the NBA and about this international wave. And I think when people think international, they automatically think one of the European countries. And rightfully so. I mean, Jokic was out there killing too. He got the they won the bronze medal game. So, but like, no, man, I think the French are coming, man. You know, obviously the French are coming, right? The British are coming. The British ain't got no damn basketball players, y'all. But the French are coming, man. If you think about the players that they had on, they played versus the United States and the players that played in the Summer League that wasn't part of the Olympic experience, and how some of those guys that they got just recently drafted to the NBA, I know somebody's saying, like, who the hell? Alex Starks and friends, there's no way that dude. I think Alex Starks just had a bad summer league, y'all. I think once league play starts, Alex Starks gonna be all right. But again, another French basketball player, him and Zach Recherche, and I know there's others. that didn't play in, you know, saying on the Olympic roster. So the French are coming, man. Wembanyama is incredible. That a guy that size, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's, every time I see him, it's incredible, man. Sometimes I'll be like, man, how come every shot don't go in? You know what I'm saying? But the French, you know what I'm saying, the whole international basketball play has gotten better. You know what I'm saying? From year over year, from the last 4 years. So, but no, man. But absolutely, man. United States, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Durant. I know you were hard on Devin Booker. Devin Booker was hard to kind of watch during the exhibition series versus, you know, saying, some of the international teams. He showed improved, stepped up last two games of going into the Olympic play.
How about Tyrese, man? An injury.
You said fake. I don't know. I hadn't heard anything. I kind of was worried about that, Brandon, with him being in and out of the lineup and through the Pacers season, right? And maybe, you know what I'm saying, that, I don't know, maybe not being necessarily 100% for the Olympics, and maybe that's kind of where his rest kind of came from. But, like, man, Team USA, I'll go back to the positives, man. You talk about Tyrese Haliburton, we can talk about Jason Tatum too, man, how he didn't play no minutes, you know what I'm saying, basically.
Revenge tour from Tatum when he comes back, when the beginning of the NBA season?
I think we're going to get, Brandon, I'm going to get a revenge tour from him and Jaylen Brown. How the hell, Brandon, man, Hall of Famer Matt Gatter said it last week on the show, man, how the hell you got three, how many Celtics, you got three of the top four or five Celtics on the team, and you don't have the number two Celtic on the team. You know what I'm saying? Derek White's on the team. Jrue Holiday is on the team. Jayson Tatum's on the team. Why would Jaylen Brown on the team? Well, you know what I'm saying? We know the politics of all that, right? But, like, no, man, I think we get a revenge tour from Jason Tatum, man. Y'all watch out for the cup where they had the Commissioner's Cup. That's what we need to watch out for. Boston might win that just out the gate. You know what I'm saying? Just because they're, you know what I'm saying, the players are pissed off. So, but like, nah, man, I thought the Olympics were great. I get it, man. Some players, you know, Steve Kerr, he went with his gut. And he played the players that he knew were took it serious. I'm not saying nobody took it serious, but they knew they were keyed in. LeBron James, deservedly so, was the MVP. He was keyed in from
a lot of people pissed off. It wasn't Steph. I said, hold the brakes.
Well,
man.
Steph had a bad exhibition or poor exhibition. I do believe once everything got over to Paris, he shot like 5 for 20 in the first three games from three. So it wasn't always pretty from Steph, but Steph's turned. It was like Davidson Steph during the championship game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the Steph Curry I remember, man. That one that's dotting eyes. It doesn't matter who's in front of him. So, just an incredible effort all around. I don't want to forget Bam Adebayo. I don't want to forget even Joel Embiid had a decent, great game, good game, I would say. I'm going to say great, good game during the gold medal game round. Probably because, like I said, he was effective dealing with the size of France. Rudy Gobert is everybody's whipping boy, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to everything basketball. But he always is seemingly playing in some type of high-stakes basketball game, man. So, but like, no, man, Team USA, man, salute to them, man. They deserve to be debated, you know what I'm saying, against the Dream Team 92. They deserve to be debated against 2008, you know what I'm saying, Redeem Team. They deserve, I think they are that great.
Somebody told me they thought it was trash that we were debating them back and forth because the 92 team stomped on every single team. But I said, you had to hold up because the competition's a hell of a lot better now than it was back in 1992. John, I saw a team. It looked like a bunch of old dads that threw on some yellow pennies, and they went out there to try to play against them.
I'm not going to disrespect those athletes of the time from the 92
I'm
years.
Not either, but
we know we live. It's a, like I take that hashtag, the tag I put on Instagram. It's a basketball world. And like I said, the level of play from the women's team in Nigeria, they made it to, they got dusted, but they made it to, you know what I'm saying, the furthest they ever got. I think they made it to the gold, not to the gold, but they made it to the bronze medal round, you know what I'm saying, but eventually came up a little short. We know Sudan gave United States a scary exhibition. Hell, they, and like I said, they showed they had a good showing as well for a team that don't have no damn gym. They showed they had a great showing in this Olympic run. Puerto Rico's always, you know what I'm saying, been pretty good when it comes to Olympic-style basketball, man. So the world has gotten a whole lot better, y'all. And the MVP, reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic, man. Hey, man, he takes basketball. He takes basketball playing for his country very seriously, man. So, again, you're right, Brandon. The competition has got a whole lot better. I'm not saying 92 couldn't dust these dudes off either. But you know what I'm saying? I do get people who want to keep a sacred cow with 92. I'm the same way. But, like, nah, man, the 2024 team is the Avengers, like LeBron said. They are super.
What was I going to say? Hey, man, I know you're living in Marion County, so you're paying that Marion County that entertainment tax still on that Lucas Oil Stadium. Hey, man, they didn't want to test this damn roof before the first preseason game.
Oh, man, I thought you were talking about them trying to ban Pornhub.
Well, that too, that too.
So I heard.
I know a lot of people pissed off at that.
Yeah, well, you know, jacket off type of weather here. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah,
how we
jacket
grow,
off type of weather.
I did, Brandon, before we shift back to the Colts and the roof, man, I don't think I'm really going to miss about the Olympics overall, whether it's track and field, gymnastics, or basketball. It's like, man, it's nonstop sports, man, and the coverage of it, man. Snoop Dogg, can you believe it? You know what I'm saying? Was a key figure in giving out, you know what I'm saying, Olympic analytics, right? That was crazy. I was up early in the morning watching, you know what I'm saying, the ladies play, play France. That was a great game. Great game, man. France, like I said, the French team. I think the WNBA is cool, you know what I'm saying, thinking about, like, as far as, like, the United States women are continuing to win, you know what I'm saying, for the next, you know what I'm saying. But, like I said, the field of women's international basketball players has gotten better as well. But, like, what I'm going to miss the most is, like, just waking up. It's, like, you know what I'm saying, 4 o'clock in the morning. and you got a basketball, or you got a, you know what I'm saying, equestrian, whatever they're broadcasting. I love, you know what I'm saying, track and field. It was great seeing. It wasn't great hearing the bickering back and forth between the USA and men's basketball players and Noah Lyles. You know what I'm saying? But I get, you know what I'm saying, somebody said something back in the, you know what I'm saying, a couple months ago, and he said something back. So it goes back and forth, and rather just like, why don't you just listen to like one ear out the other? You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win a gold medal. They here to win a gold medal. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Be supportive of your countrymen. Being for real. You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds weird coming out of Jonathan Bernthal's mouth, but I'm being 100%. But now those are the things I'm going to miss, man. Just waking up and, you know, crack of dawn. Damn, man. You know what I'm saying? Watching swimming. Damn. You know what I'm saying? And somebody, you know what I'm saying, trying to live out the dream. And the diving. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? I don't think American meddled in diving. You know what I'm saying? I think the Chinese might have swept. But like I said, man, the Olympics is great. Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, from a sports enthusiast like me, they only come 4 years around. So, but like, the only thing I didn't watch was the breakdancing, and I ain't going to get into the politics of that. But like, nah, man, overall, I thought the 2024 adventure was awesome.
Okay. I'm looking up something.
Did you watch any NASCAR this weekend? It was back.
I did, man. I got a little controversy. But I can't be... I can't keep my bias because I may or may not have had a nice bet on Denny Hamlin to win, and then that went up the smoke in the last turn. I was ready to punch something. and they're both right. Logano's right, and Hamlin's right. This is where we've gotten to now with this type of racing and what's at stake, and you can just punt the hell out of everybody. They're going to make their decisions tomorrow, apparently, on what course of action NASCAR is going to do. But, hey, man, it's entertainment. It got people talking. That's what they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we talked about here.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you if you would take a minute. If you want to, you know more of his history than I do. I have a lot more of his end of career history. But take a moment. Obviously, earlier this week, Kevin Sullivan, Taskmaster, Prince of Darkness, died at 74, John. No more first time with WCW. Your thoughts on Kevin Sullivan's passing?
Man, he just jumped. Like, when he was introduced to me, he was introduced as that evil little, you know, the evil little character that everybody kind of knows him as. And wasn't necessarily a great wrestler. Like, I think he was actually a pretty good amateur wrestler, but I'm talking about as far as performance inside the square circle, man. Wasn't necessarily a great amateur, but he had a great mind and could talk. And we all know, and he was tough. So those are three things that will get you far in wrestling now. And, man, he was good, also a planner of matches, and he kind of got the book, you know what I'm saying? And not great for Brian Pillman, if you remember that feud. He had a great behind the stage and in the wrestling ring beef with Brian Pillman, where they had a back and forth where it kind of got personal, and actually got in a real fight in the ring. He obviously was in a love triangle situation because he was married to a woman, her on stage, you know, name woman, and Chris Benoit. And
people said that he did the killing. I saw something about that. I don't know about it.
You know, Kevin Sullivan is from the old school where you don't break character. So
right.
He's always portrayed a character, a villain, and he always portrayed it like he believes in the devil and he believes in Satan worship and all that. And it might be true. I don't know. So,
right.
Like, when they say that, I don't believe that. Chris Benoit did that. You know what I'm saying? That's horrific. Those are horrific things. But, Kevin Sullivan, the same things, he was just a worker. But the same things that I appreciate Paul Heyman about, I was like, you know, how he can talk and how he books matches and how he, you know what I'm saying, puts it all together. And it's him. He's like, okay, I'm going to be the bad guy, but I'm going to make sure the good guy looks really good. That's what Kevin Sullivan did. He made Sting, Lex Luger, and Cactus Jack, and all those guys before they got to WWE. And they were, you know what I'm saying, quote-unquote toiling in NWA, WCW. You know what I'm saying? He made them look good. And I missed him just because, like I said, you know what I'm saying, he had great stables. He was a great manager. He talked crazy. You know what I'm saying? All those things that, you know what I'm saying, that get you engrossed into wrestling. I'm sad it was he's just important, the Believing brand. He's just important as you name him. He might not be as big a star as The Rock or Rick, you know what I'm saying, all those guys, but he's just important because he made them all look good at some point. But no, man, rest in peace, Kevin Sullivan.
Perfect. What else you got, John? We're going to do just an hour show here tonight. We got about seven minutes left. We have a hard out. And people can bitch and complain. Hard out at 8. I'm on vacation. Golf trip. Got to get out of here.
It's all good. Them people, they better not be bitching and complaining. They better be liking and sharing and telling their best friends.
We're going to be back next Tuesday night as well. So
about that's good. About Crossroads Sports, man. I know. I think we had a great show tonight, Brandon. We covered a lot of territory. I know we didn't cover the
college football. We got to start hitting that hard.
Yeah, well, it's coming up because Michigan. We ain't forgot about Michigan. You know what I'm saying? We ain't forgot about Michigan.
I can't wait for this documentary to come out.
Yeah, the Michigan documentary is coming out. We got to talk about Ohio State at some point because all eyes on them. They got a whiny-ass quarterback already. I said it. Columbus, you got a whiny-ass quarterback already.
No.
Transfer as a state. So that just gives you a little sizzle.
Well, Howard's whiny?
He's whiny. But, Crossroads Sports, episode number 311, man, we had a great time. If you missed it, like I said, you check for the rebroadcast. If you missed us live, like I said, man, check us back on. We broadcast on Facebook. We broadcast through Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Great content. Great sports content. We talked, like I said, we had a great show tonight. We covered all the bases. Shame on us, man. We didn't cover Major League Baseball. But, hey, y'all.
There's time.
It's a short show. This is the next time the White Sox, they bombed the hell out of the Yankees. I'll leave you with that. I've been Jonathan Burson. That's been Brandon Reed. This has been Crossroads Sports. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Wish me luck in my golf game, people. I'm going to need it this week. Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports.
Enter to win a trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival at CareerBuilder.com and discover your earning potential along the way. CareerBuilder.com knows that your skills are superpowers and employers need you like never before. CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder Colab. Check out the Resume Builder, learn what recruiters are looking for, search salaries, and view different career paths. You'll be amazed at the skills you already have to build your future. Register to win and find full rules at CareerBuilder.com.
I'm Victoria Cash, and I want to invite you to a place called Lucky Land, where you can play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. So what are you waiting for? The best way to discover your luck is to spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com, that's LuckyLandSlots.com, and get lucky today. At Lucky Land.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.